recording us yet, are you?
I am.
All right.
See, look. It's working. By magic.
It is magic. You know why it's magic? It's magical because it's Father's Day.
What? Okay. So we're getting right into it.
Well, I'm just...
You're just diving right in.
I'm mentally preparing our audience that this episode will be a special Father's Day episode in honor of dads everywhere.
Just going to talk about one song for an hour and a half.
No, I know you have some good dad songs.
I guess so.
Because you are a good dad.
Yes.
And you love music. And I assume that since Mother's Day was a big, you know, you did some good mom music stuff. You have some great dad stuff, I'm assuming.
Indeed, I do. Yeah, of course.
So.
Welcome.
To What Difference Does It Make?
Yes, indeed. Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Dave.
Happy Father's Day. Do you do any, what do you do for your father or your,
my husband
RE?
Who's a father?
Yeah.
My RE.
The family? What does the family do on Father's Day?
I think we do a lot of eating because both my RE and my dad like to eat.
Is it, Brent's?
We probably won't do Brent's this year. It has been Brent's many times in the past, but, I leave it to them. And, you know, my dad always says whatever your RE wants. Uh-huh. Doesn't call him that. So I don't know. I'll have to consult them.
It's here already. Let's get started. Right. Come on.
You're right.
You got to get on the
mic. Let me text him and find out.
You got to prepare.
What are you doing? Are you consulting the infatuation for a Father's Day meal?
I consult my wife and my family, and they take me to a place that is appropriate for everybody.
So, for example?
I don't know.
Do you do it with your dad, or do you do what?
Oh, yeah.
Separate, you and then...
Yeah, my dad will be there, and we'll eat food, and we will talk, and we will laugh, and that will be
Father's
our
Day.
Father's Day.
How do these holidays get to be about eating, all about eating?
Well, it's all about eating, you know that.
Everything is always about eating, I know.
It's like, what was the Jewish thing? It's like, we were oppressed, we got free, let's celebrate, let's eat.
Well, that makes
Something
sense.
Like that. Yeah, it always ends with let's eat.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter what it is. Funeral,
yes.
Let's eat.
It's true.
We're sad, let's eat.
Yeah, so you looked like you were going to say something. What were you going to?
I wasn't going to say anything. I have no idea what Father's Day will bring, but I'm sure it'll bring some good times.
Lots of happiness.
Usually we end up at the beach.
Ah, it's a very good place to celebrate Father's Day.
It is June. It's summertime.
Yeah.
Summertime will be officially like 5 days away or something like that.
It's summer.
June 20th.
Hopefully not June gloom.
It will be June gloom, but we, because of, you know, my dad wakes up early, so we have to get moving early so we can leave. Let's get here so we can leave.
So you could fit two meals in, probably. If he gets up early, you could do Father's Day brunch, and then you could do Father's Day.
That is usually what happens. Yeah, we will eat, we'll pack everything up, we will separate and go our different ways, and then we will come home and like, what's to eat? And
eat
then
again.
Like, oh, okay, we got leftovers, let's have some more.
Happy Father's Day.
Well, thank you.
I hope you eat something good.
I do.
And some dessert. Some dessert, because...
Sure.
You know.
It's yes. Always got to be chocolate or something.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it, always.
Good.
Father's Day, I always wear the same shirt, which my wife made when the kids were young. She put this iron-on decal of the kids. I think they're on the teacups or at Disneyland. But she put it on. She ironed on the decal backwards, so it's still it's backward. I can only see it when I look in the mirror, so the way it's supposed to look. But I still have it to this day, of course. So I always wear it. I always put that on.
That's so cute. But how do you tell if the picture is backwards?
It's they're like words are backward. It's just
other words on it.
It's clearly backwards.
Okay, that's great. That's brilliant. She probably did it on purpose.
Of course, because it's only for me, and I can only see it in the mirror.
Yeah.
So that's I've got two shirts. I got that shirt and a Dodgers 94 like most valuable dad shirt that says 94, which is funny. And actually, in 94 that was the strike year, so. Wasn't the best year for baseball, but I still have that shirt to this day.
But you'll always remember.
And I'll always remember that. Yeah, so I kind of I alternate the Father's Day shirts on that day.
Morning and afternoon.
Exactly, yes. One for the beach and one for eating afterwards.
One for the big celebration, the big fancy celebration.
Yes. Yeah. Never a big fancy celebration.
No.
Very simple.
Yeah, that's not what dads require.
Not at all. All right. Well, let's talk dads and Father's Day and music and you're
Don't
already covering
look.
Up. I can't see. It's so far away. I can't see your writing.
Okay. Well, since you're the dad, you're going to start this week.
I'm starting off this week?
Yeah. Because I only have a dad.
All right. Well,
I mean, I have a dad, but you are a dad and you have a dad. So therefore you get to go first.
It's funny in that most of these songs, as I was looking at, a lot of them have to do with comedy. Because my dad kind of shaped my weird sense of humor.
So his humor, your humor is like his?
Yes. Things that he found funny, you know, I gravitated towards. Yeah. And that kind of like set the,
had
the roots planted for future, for my future of what I find appealing, which is often weird and askew.
Quirky.
Quirky stuff.
All right, take it away. Let's hear. What's song one?
Well, the funny thing is, if I said this song to my dad, he probably wouldn't recognize the title or the name of the artist. But we used to, as I think I've mentioned to you, we listened to country radio back in the 70s. My parents loved country radio, and so we listened to the country radio station.
KLAC?
It probably was. It's probably it was probably AM.
Yeah. Yeah, it must have been. All right.
Yeah. So
I'm so curious. What's the song?
So tying together comedy and country music, there was this one song. The artist is David Allen Cole, and the song is called "You Never Called Me By My Name." And my dad is probably going, "I don't remember this song."
But yet you're attributing it to him.
For sure. And it was from 1975 and written by Steve Goodman. He wrote "The City of New Orleans." I think you know that song. I think it was also co-written by John Prine. You probably know him.
Oh.
Yeah, Angels of Montgomery, okay. Sam Stone, stuff like that. This hit number 8 on the country charts. The reason it's so memorable is David Allen Cole sings this song. It's kind of like an ode to Waylon Jennings. And just he's kind of an outlaw, and he's an outlier in Nashville. He's not very happy with the Nashville scene. The song kind of touches on that. In the first few verses, then he speaks this the second part.
Well, a friend of mine named Steve Goodman wrote that song, and he told me it was the perfect country and western song. I wrote him back a letter, and I told him it was not the perfect country and western song because he hadn't said anything at all about mama, or trains, or trucks, or prison, or getting drunk. Well, he sat down and wrote another verse to the song, and he sent it to me, and after reading it, I realized that my friend had written the perfect country and western song, and I felt obliged to include it on this album. The last verse goes like this here. Well, I was drunk the day my mom got out of prison, and I went pick her up in the rain. But before I could get to the station in the pickup truck, she got run over by a damned old train. And I'll hang around.
Very good. So, very clever, very funny. I can see why he might like that.
Yeah. So anyway, that was a song that whenever it came up, my dad just went nuts. And of course, that I picked up on that. I'm like, oh, there's something here. My dad likes this. This is funny. You know, to my 9-year-old brain, this is okay. This is a thing.
Did you get the lyrics of the song, or was it more funny just to hear your dad laughing?
A little of both. Well, initially, of course, it was my dad just laughing about this song. And then, you know. And I think I eventually picked up on like, okay, being drunk, going to prison. This is a country song.
Yes.
I mean, we had heard a lot of, you know, my parents listened to country a lot. Yeah. So I was kind of learning about what makes a country and western song. Mm-hmm. Of course, this was something that was very helpful.
Those have all the elements. That's like the blueprint to writing a country song.
Yes, indeed it is. So, so shout out to David Allen Cole and Steve Goodman and John Prine who put this song together and help shape my outlook on comedy and
I
music.
Love it.
All right, what else you got? What do you got? What's your first song?
Well, as you know, my parents, both my parents. And sometimes it's hard to separate because their love of music, and they love a lot of the same music. So attributing songs to my mom and attributing to my dad, there's sort of a fine line, a blurred line, I should say. This is the very first song that jumped to my mind when we decided we were going to do Father's Day. This is Kenny Rogers, The Gambler.
Oh, nice.
Yes. It's because my dad is a gambler, mm-hmm. and he loves Kenny Rogers. And he loves songs that tell, you know, as we've talked about, you know, we talked about Gordon Lightfoot and mm-hmm. artists that tell stories. And Kenny Rogers tells a great story.
For sure.
And this song just, not a sad song in any way, but this song is so powerful. When I hear it now, I have it on a lot of my own playlists because mm-hmm. I love the song myself. I'm pretty sure I love it as a standalone song and not just because my dad loves it. It actually, sometimes I get teary-eyed listening to it, whether it's the remembering it from my childhood or I'm not sure what it is, but mm-hmm. it's a very sentimental.
Yeah.
But it's a great song. It's a, you know the song.
Of course.
Every gambler knows that the secret to surviving is knowing what to throw away, knowing what to keep, 'cause every hand's a winner and every hand's a loser. The best that you can hope for is to die in your sleep. And when he finished speaking, he turned back toward the window, crushed out a cigarette, faded off to sleep. And somewhere in the darkness, the gambler, he broke even. But in his final words, I found an ace that I could keep. You got to know when to hold on. Know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting.
The story's great. It's from 1978, by the way, from The Gambler. And it got to number 16 here, which is really nice to hear. I didn't, you know.
Well, yeah, that was Dolly Parton, Kenny Rogers.
Yeah.
These country artists were crossing over, and it was huge. Country was huge back then. And well, it's still huge. Kenny Rogers, songs are brilliant. And this, yeah, it still holds up today, I think.
It does. This song actually won a Grammy for Best Male Country Vocal Performance. And the writer of the song, Don Schlitz, he won for the Best Country Song. Kenny Rogers, which I did not know this, performed it on an episode of The Muppet Show.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Does your dad still play?
My dad gambles. Yeah. Is he a gambler?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we go to Vegas together. He and I do.
Is he a big time? Because my dad, he has a weekly poker game. Mm. Maybe once or twice a week he plays.
Really?
Yes. But it's small, small stakes. So he will say, hey, I won three big ones today.
Meaning $3?
Oh, yeah. 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 I, of course, I always say, what, $300? You lost $300. You won $300? That's great.
Yeah, no, it's fun. I mean, he's not high, you know, super high stakes, and he doesn't play. He doesn't have a regular card game anymore. He did when I was younger, but he loves Vegas. He plays, plays poker machines, blackjack, roulette, horses. He bets on horses at home. Yeah.
Okay, we're having some fun talking Father's Day, but we need to earn a little bit of money for our dad, so why don't we take a break?
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Welcome back to the What Difference Does It Make podcast and our special classic Father's Day episode.
You give me another one. Let me in a little more about your dad.
All right. Well, we're talking Vegas.
Oh, I get well, a connection
dad,
here.
A little bit. Well, this is what my dad loves. Pat's Domino. He introduced, I think I had mentioned something like, oh, I hate the start of the, you know, probably same age, eight, nine, like, oh, I hate the start of the week. You know, I gotta go to school. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, if I got a song for you. And he bought this Fats Domino Greatest Hits and played me Blue Monday. Oh. Like, yeah, that's you. You got, it's Blue Monday. You have a blue.
A Fats Domino.
Yes, not the New Order song.
Yeah.
Blue Monday. How are you, Blue Monday? Got to work like a slave.
Told me once that I think we used to go to when we were kids, when I was a kid, and you know, my sister, we're young. My parents took us out to Vegas all the time, and just kind of left us in the room while, or either in the room or somewhere else, like you know, like the this you know, like a playroom at the hotel.
Didn't you get it? We got a roll of a $10 roll of quarters to play at Circus Circus while they went off gambling.
Yeah, that happened a lot.
Yeah,
but I think my dad. I don't know how late we were. I mean, I remember one time we were out like till like in this playroom at a hotel till like 3 or 4 in the morning or something like that. It's just crazy.
It's a 24-hour city, Vegas.
It is. But I think my dad left us in the room once because he wanted to see Fats Domino, and he had like a 3:30 in the morning show or something like that. You know, back in
there's
the 70s.
There's no clocks in Vegas. There's no clocks, no sense of time.
I don't think they do this anymore. Maybe they do, but you know, like have like a 3:30 show.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, because I know Elvis used to do that too. Then that must have been like a thing in the 60s or 70s. Like, you know.
Yeah.
I think he went by himself, if I remember correctly, because my mom was sleeping. He's like, I have to see Fats Domino. And
That's awesome.
So he went to go see Fats Domino at some place in Vegas. You know, the Stardust or the Sands.
We
or
used
whatever.
To stay there too at the Stardust.
Who knows? I think, yeah, his favorite hotel was the Sands. And we used to go. used to go
like
there.
Like Sammy Davis Jr.
And, oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. I think I still have a coaster of like the Rat Pack in front of Sands Hotel.
Not an ashtray stolen from the room?
No. But that was the hotel we always went to.
The Sands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that. Because of him, I know Fats Domino. You know, when Cheap Trick did Ain't That a Shame, I knew, yeah, of course, that's a Fats Domino song. I was, so I became,
ahead of your time.
I was aware of the Fat Man. It had a huge influence on my dad, and he loves, yeah, that. That's, you know, it's bluesy, it's Cajun,
how
it's New Orleans,
fun.
50s rock and roll.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So there you go.
Should have taken you with him.
I will. My dad's riddled with guilt. If I told him that, he would say, oh, sorry.
I never did that. Well,
I'm sorry, I never took you to see Fats. All right. Handing the ball off to you.
All right. My parents were huge Eagles fans.
Yes.
And I'm attributing different songs to them, even though the taste is this, you know, the same, the Eagles or the Eagles. But there actually is a particular song that reminds me of my dad, and it's The Last Resort.
From Hotel California.
Yes.
Yes. The last song.
Yes.
Okay.
It is. You know the song. You know what the song is about. My dad, yeah, my parents were big on lyrics.
Yes.
Which, you know, I'm not.
Yes.
I love lyrics. I love and appreciate lyrics, but mm-hmm, it's not the first thing I hear when I listen to a song. But do you know what The Last Resort is about?
Please do tell.
People from the eastern United States ruin the West early on. They kill the Native Americans, and the more West America goes, the more commercial it gets. That's a quote. I mean, this is a Don Henley quote. But it was really about the killing off of the Native Americans. I did not know that when I was when I was young, and I heard this song. This song is from Hotel California, was 1976.
Yes.
So I wasn't really aware at the time. But as we got older and we discussed music more,
mm-hmm,
and my dad's a history buff anyway.
Okay, so
this song. Yeah, I mean, he loves the Eagles. Period. But this song I associate with him. Yes, mm-hmm, he sort of helped teach me a history lesson.
History buff.
Yeah. I cry a lot, which you probably know. I cry a lot, but this song is actually, I mean, this song is sad in itself.
I've picked up on that.
I'm a little emotional.
When the chilly winds blew down across the desert, through the canyons of the coast to the Malibu, where the pretty people play, hungry for power to light their neon way, given things to do. Some rich men came and raped the land, nobody caught them, put up a bunch of ugly boxes, and Jesus, people bought them. They called it paradise, the place to be. They watched the hazy sun sinking in the sea.
He said, actually, Don Henley says it's one of his, this was, of course, an 87 interview, so it was a long time ago, and he's written a lot of music since then. But he said it's still one of his favorite songs. He says, because he cares more about the environment than about writing songs about drugs or love affairs or excesses of any kind. The gist of the song is that when we find something good, we destroy it by our presence, by the very fact that man is the only animal on earth that is capable of destroying his environment. The environment is the reason I got into politics, so to try and do something about what I saw as the complete destruction of most of the resources that we have left, that we have mortgaged our future for gain and greed. Boy, that sounds like Don Henley.
Does indeed.
So there we go.
All right, so
The Last Resort.
The Last Resort, yes, means a lot.
It does. So what do you have? You're pretty varied. Your dad is pretty varied.
All right. So there's this game that's going on Twitter right now of one concert I did not see. Let me set it up this way. Here's something you might not know about me. When I was a kid, I won a lot of radio contests.
I did not know this.
I would listen to 64 KFI and 93 KHJ, and they would need the 20th caller. And I would call.
Yeah, we all did that. Yeah.
520.
KRTH.
KRTH or 60. I can't even remember what the 64 KFI, whatever that one was. So anyway, I would call. And of course, it all costs money too. Mm-hmm. You know, like if they picked up the phone and said, caller 10.
Toll call.
16 cents right there.
Yeah, but worth it depending on what you won.
Yes.
So
I did win a lot of I got to see concerts, some of my first concerts, and my dad took me to all of these shows.
Whoa.
Yes. So he took me to a number of shows. I'll list you. He took me to all of these shows except for one, and let's see if you can name the show I did not see. And these were all radio contests. Okay. So I did not see one of these bands. Seals and Crofts, Foreigner, The Carpenters, ELO, Pointer Sisters.
So I'm guessing you didn't win ELO tickets.
I don't know. You tell me. What do you think?
I know you've seen ELO.
Okay, so you can cross that off the list.
Okay.
Because I've seen ELO.
Okay. Did you
You
win?
Know that.
Yes.
Because, yes, your RE was at that show, too.
Yes. Foreigner.
That is incorrect. My dad took me to see Foreigner's Double Vision Tour.
Whoa. You won those tickets?
At the Forum with Walter Egan opening up.
Whoa.
Yes.
Magnet and Steel.
Yes. Indeed. You remember that.
Okay. Well, who was first on the list?
Who else did I say? Well, let's see. So it's either Seals and Crofts, The Carpenters, or Pointer Sisters. One of these bands, artists I did not see. The others I saw with my dad because I won the contest.
Carpenters?
That is correct. I did not see The Carpenters.
Oh.
But I did see Seals and Crofts at the Greek Theater, and I saw the Pointer Sisters at the Santa Monica Civic, I'd like to believe.
Wow. Okay, that is so cool. So, okay, when you win these tickets, did you win good seats?
These were, I remember we were to the side of the stage for Foreigner. Wasn't too bad. We were, I don't think we were that high. I think it was, what do I know back then?
I'm just curious.
I was like, we were there. The ELO was general admission, as was the Pointer Sisters. So we were sitting. They were fine seats.
Okay.
They did okay.
That's really cool.
So, ELO was the first concert I went to, and I also won the tickets because my dad, this was my first contest winning. My dad said, yeah, Dave, if you win tickets, I will take you, meaning there is no chance in hell you're going to win tickets to this. And I did.
You had the touch.
And he did take me. And we lasted, we got there early. I think that's why my dad, let's go to the show so we can leave. He was like, let's go there so we can leave immediately.
Get it over with.
So we got there early and we were there for, I don't know how long we were there, but like five songs into the ELO show, he's like, okay, let's go. And so we got up. I'm like, okay. So we got up and left, and we got lost in the parking lot. Could not find. So I got to hear most of the show in the parking lot because we couldn't find the car.
Yeah. Was this 76? Was this 1976?
No, it was the Out of the Blue would be 78.
Does my RE know that these were the circumstances under which you went to that show?
I don't know.
That's a very. I have no idea.
Yes, it's true.
And so what are you going to say? These days, our kids would fight. If we said to our kids, okay, we're leaving after five songs, our kids would probably say, yeah, no,
Like I've told you, my dad's riddled with guilt, so I constantly remind him of these things.
Very good.
Yeah, so he stays to the end of Dodger games now. Whenever we go together, he's like, he will stay till the end. You're just worried about parking and getting out of the situation.
Well, that's a dad thing.
Oh, it was totally a dad thing. Yeah, but it was, Journey opened up for that at that show.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, I got to see all of Journey, and I got to see, five songs of ELO.
Wait, so did you just pick a song for this?
Oh, Mr. Blue Sky. I mean, it's just something
from...
So
it was ELO. Reminds you of your dad.
Yeah, just Out of the Blue was the album. Yeah. Just a memorable experience. I remember a guy in some guy in the rows in front of us was like, "Hey man, you got any papers?" My dad whispering to, "Do you know what he means by papers?" I'm like, "No." You know, I nodded.
Did your dad know?
Well, yeah, my dad knew.
Okay.
And I can kind of, I mean, I smelled this weird smoke. I knew it was something different than cigarette smoke. Had a vague clue what was going on. It was fun. My first rock and roll experience.
And to share it with your dad, that's great. Do you think he remembers it the same way as you?
Totally. Because, yeah, we'll bring it up once in a while.
That's great.
Okay, what do you got?
All right. I'm doing mine's a 2-for-1.
Okay,
and
you can do that.
Funny. There's no particular stories behind most of my songs. These are just songs that remind me of my dad in particular. So my parents were Stones fans, Rolling mm-hmm. Stones. But these songs, whether it was a time in my life, and again, not knowing what these songs were about, I'm picking two songs. Mother's Little Helper, which mm-hmm. I had no idea what that was about at the time. I don't even think I knew until I was an adult, like way into adulthood, and mm-hmm. Ruby Tuesday.
Oh, nice.
But the album my parents had was the Greatest Hits, which I also didn't know at the time. I probably didn't even know what a Greatest Hits was at the time. But Through the Past Darkly, do you know mm-hmm. the?
Of course.
And it was a shape, you know, a funky shape. It was blue. I can totally picture the record, you know the album. Well. And so that's what I thought these songs were from. But as it turns out, Mother's Little Helper was from Aftermath.
Okay.
Ruby Tuesday was from Between the Buttons.
Right. Okay.
And this was 1966 and 67, so they were putting out records like every year. At the time?
Back then, it was two a year.
Knocking them out, because songs were, what, 2 minutes?
Yeah. 3 minutes. Yeah, I mean, albums were 30 minutes long. And in the early 60s up to like until Sgt. Pepper, you put out an album, at least an album, maybe two a year, because rock and roll was dying, and you had to keep it going. You had to keep this engine moving along, and so the record company was, come on, pump these out.
It's just so crazy when you think about that now, how often you could go, you know, years between artists putting out records.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah,
we were just talking about Vampire Weekend, who hadn't put out an album in six years.
Yeah.
It's craziness. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, so Rolling Stones will forever remind me of my parents and Mother's Little Helper and Ruby Tuesday. I swear to you, Mother's Little Helper, I shouldn't even be saying this in a public forum. I think it might have been my RE, me, you know, belting it out once and him, you know, laughing, going, you know, this song is about.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, we've known each other for 30 years, but I never really paid attention.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What a drag it is getting old. Are different today. I hear every mother say, mother needs something today to calm her down. And though she's not really ill, there's a little yellow pill. She goes running for the shelter of her mother's little helper, and it helps her on her way, gets her through her busy day. Things are different. Fresh food for her husband's just a drag. So she buys an instant cake, and she finds a frozen steak, and goes running for the shelter of her mother's little helper. And to help her on her way, get her through her busy day.
Yeah, so I told you I won a lot of radio contests.
Yeah.
On 64 KFI. They had a contest where you could pick one artist and you would win their entire album catalog.
I even remember these contests.
And okay. I won and I chose the Rolling Stones.
Good choice. What?
My dad was upset that I did not pick the Beatles. I was like, well, Rolling Stones have more records.
And that's what we're thinking of in terms of quantity.
Yeah, something like that. But I'm so glad I did that. You know, it brought me up to date. Like, I'm very familiar with the Rolling Stones entire catalog because of that.
Do you still have them?
Oh yeah, I got them all. I went them up to Emotional Rescue.
Oh, that's amazing! Wow.
Right. Yes.
So, have the touch. You have the Midas touch.
I was dedicated because I knew like the
what time, the algorithm
sort of, because I mean they always had the contest at a certain time. It was like between between the 35 and 45. You know, it was like this, yes, this small little window when they always get had the contest. So that's when I tuned in, and I was always by the phone, and it was always dialed. You had to dial the, this number.
Yeah.
And then you heard that there was always clicking because it was, yep, long distance. You're like, and then you would wait, and then you would get a busy signal, and then you'd have to hang up and, you know, do that dial, yeah, again. And yeah, so I kind of learned how to, like, the timing, yeah, of it all.
Well, I entered them all too, but the dialing, there's no accounting for the time it takes to dial, and, you know.
Right. It was just, yeah, it's craziness, but yeah. I was very fortunate, and I won a lot of,
well,
the
congratulations,
number of these contests.
Oh, so you're familiar with Between the Buttons and Aftermath?
Yes.
Not, yeah, just Through the Past Darkly. Is that considered, yeah, catalog, since it's a
no, I know the shape because I have that, you know.
It's like a
that,
hexagon or something.
A, yeah, it's a hexagon. Yeah, yeah. I believe so.
Yeah.
It's good. That's a good record.
Yeah.
There,
yes,
all, yeah,
it
there,
was.
There were a lot of good records. But yeah, because I had so much time on my hands, I could listen to all these albums and enjoy. I, you know, listened to them numerous times, yeah, and became familiar with the entire Stones catalog.
Oh, very good.
Up to that point, yeah.
Very good. Hopefully now we'll be lucky enough to see the Stones play.
Yes.
Jagger's now that we know Mick Jagger's healthy.
Jagger's dancing around. It's great. Yeah. That's makes me happy, and I probably, now that I see that, I might want to go see them one more time. Why not?
As long as it's not at the Rose Bowl.
Yeah. I did take my daughters to see the Stones. We went to, we saw them in San Diego.
Did.
We went to San Diego. It was like a Memorial weekend, and we traveled down to San Diego, spent the night there, and then saw the Stones. It was fun. I mean, my girls kind of got a kick out of it.
Yeah.
It's one of those where you can kind of check that off your list.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Yeah.
Did you go to a Padres game also?
No, we did not. No, it was just, it was a San Diego weekend centered around the Stones, and that's it.
Okay. All right, well, good on you for exposing them to it.
Paul McCartney, they've seen the Stones and Prince. Those are the and actually this year I'm going to take my dad to see Paul McCartney.
Oh yay!
He's never seen Paul McCartney. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that you're a good son.
Well, I'm trying.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to the quiz deck.
Oh, I love the quiz deck.
The 1980s rock and roll quiz deck, Dave. You are going to pick.
All right.
I'm going to read you a question that you will be able to answer just by looking at my face.
It's either Depeche Mode or The Cure or Pretenders. That seems to be what I always get.
The running theme.
All right, here we go.
All right.
No cheating beforehand.
Well, you'd want to know which side is the question and which side is the answer.
The red is the question.
Oh, brother. Okay. Oh, one sentence. I say that. That's the running theme is I will read you one, not even a full sentence, and you're going to know the answer.
Okay.
Propelled by the number one singles, Photograph and Rock of Ages.
Uh-huh.
The 1983 album Pyromania by
Def Leppard.
By English hard rock band Def Leppard went to number two on the U.S. album charts and sold 6 million copies.
Correct.
2 years later, tragedy struck the band. What happened?
What happened? Someone, I believe, was he drunk? Rick Allen?
We don't know for sure. I know we've discussed this before. We do not know. I don't know if it's confirmed. I've heard yes, but it does not.
Was it his left or right arm that he lost? I can't.
Left arm.
It was his left arm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that, yeah, Rick Allen. And what year was this?
This was 1984.
1984. Yeah. Right in the thick of it.
God. After the success of Pyromania, Def Leppard had begun working on their next album when drummer Rick Allen lost control of his Corvette on New Year's Eve 1984 and crashed into a wall, losing his left arm in the accident. In what must have been one of the most amazing comebacks in rock history, indeed, Allen, with a lot of practice and the help of custom-designed electric drums, returned to play with the band at the 1986 Monsters of Rock Festival in Donington, England. Together again, the band then recorded 1987's
Hysteria.
With the hits Pour Some Sugar on Me and Love Bites.
Okay, yeah.
Which became their most successful album, hitting number one on the album charts and selling over 15 million copies, which places it at number 50 on the U.S. list of best-selling albums of all time.
Yeah, it was inescapable.
You remember when it happened? And the tragedy that it was and how awful and how...
Oh, it could have been a lot worse for him.
But that is incredible.
To survive that and to lose an arm and then, you know...
Thinking
everything is done and then, but not giving up. I mean, that's it's a great story.
Yeah.
Craziness.
Incredible.
So, yeah, and now we can, we've been talking about seeing them in Vegas.
Okay, we should.
Back in the 80s, I was not a fan of Def Leppard. I was not a hair metal fan at all. I guess you would call them hair metal. But
hair band, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was pop metal. Everyone loved it. And but of course, as you get older, these songs endure. And like, yeah, these songs have something to them. And so I'm now intrigued, and I'd love to see the band.
Yeah. So. Actually, maybe we should do that. Maybe we should do the tour, the Aerosmith, Def Leppard, Janet Jackson tour.
Okay.
I want to go back on that though. I'm not sure if I would call Def Leppard a hair band, because they really are a rock band.
Yeah. No, you think of LA bands like Poison and Motley Crue.
Yeah. 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 But Def Leppard was a real rock. I mean, they were all real rock bands, but I don't think I would put them as a hair band.
Yeah. I mean, you think of bands that put on makeup on their faces, and it was kind of a look, and Def Leppard was
not that.
No, they weren't that.
Yeah.
They were more Aerosmith leaning.
Yeah.
80s Aerosmith leaning than Motley Crue leaning.
And Poison which have their place in rock history.
As they do. We can place them in rock history.
Yes.
As the Dirt has. You did see the Dirt.
I saw the Dirt. You should see it, because you should see it. It's cheesy, but it was fun and a little painful to watch. In that, you know, because it is the history.
Yeah. Yeah, they have a crazy history.
It is. You can't even imagine this stuff happening today. I'm imagining putting this film in front of our kids, our girls.
Yeah.
Thinking, what the hell? How did anybody behave this way? I mean, the girls and the guys.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay.
There you go. Parting some Mother's Day advice on Father's Day.
Girl power.
There you go. So until then, this is Dave.
This is Holly.
Check you later.
Over and out.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.